recording or whatever, but.
And then Maroney. What's up? It's Weekend Weebs, episode 37, July 31st, 2023. I'm Alonzo. Got my co-host Jason. We're both rocking colds today, but it's okay. crying never stops. But the reason I got my cold was, like, I know exactly why I got mine. And, like, the moment that I got it, because, like, I helped my friend Chi move stuff out of her apartment because she's moving to Baltimore for graduate school. And I was the only one there, and it was super hot. She didn't have no AC going, and it was just a hot day, and she lives on the third floor. So I went down, up and down the stairs, like, probably, like, 20 times, like, a bunch of times, throwing stuff out, putting stuff in her car to donate. And I wasn't drinking water or eating. So
that makes you sick?
Yeah, like I get, like if I go a whole day like not taking care of myself, like I would probably get sick. Like I was there from 1 to 8 and I probably had like one cup of water like that entire time. And like I didn't eat until like 9. I was really tired and then I stayed up a little later because I was on the phone with Mariah because stuff was going on with her. And I got sick the next day, and I've been sick since Friday. So I know exactly why I'm sick. But I think COVID is making a little comeback, though, because multiple people I know have gotten COVID. Yeah, the last like couple weeks.
Another strain?
I don't know if it's another strain. It might just be a seasonal thing at this point.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why I'm sick. I came home. Because, you know, I went to San Francisco, and my brother was feeling under the weather, but we weren't really in contact, but, you know, we live in the same house, so I think maybe whatever he had contaminated to me, but I didn't feel, like, super bad at all. I just had a headache one day, and then I went to the gym, came back home, kind of had a little bit of a headache throughout the day. Next day, felt better, just was congested, and now I just sound nasally, but other than that, I feel fine, so... Yeah.
Okay. I'm sneezing and stuff. All right. So you want to start with Bleach? What were you saying about? What did I say about Bleach last week? I don't remember.
You're like, you can't, because I was like, is Bleach and Jujutsu going to carry for the seasonal animes for, what is it? It's not summer. Is this summer?
This is summer.
This isn't, it's like fall. I mean, summer ends like next month. Let's be real. But yeah. I guess it is summer. I guess summer, it is the fall, summer.
Whatever.
Yeah. I guess it's the summer selection of shows. So I was saying, is Jujutsu and Bleach just going to carry? And you're like, nah, I don't think so. And you're like, you're really liking Zom because it makes you feel stuff. And it's like a lot more relatable, even though it's a zombie apocalypse. But like some of the stuff that happens in general just is more relatable than, you know, what happens in Jujutsu Kaisen and Bleach. But I was going to say, this episode, for me, I feel like it didn't hold as much weight as it should have or it was supposed to because I didn't watch the original, you know, series when it first came out. I watched some of it. Like, I understand the, who the characters are and what's going on. But, like, I feel like we were supposed to feel more about the dog dude. And I just wasn't feeling the feels for it.
Say his name. Say so, his name. He's not.
And it was
dog,
interesting.
Dude.
It's not dog dude. It's not dog dude.
No, his name is Komamura or like Sanjin or something. I have to look it up. He's not one of my favorite characters, so like I forget his name. It's Sanjin.
It was cool. It was cool last, you know, part one of this season when he went to go talk to the head of his clan or whoever that the giant dog was.
The big and dog.
And he was like, "We outcast, or you left because you found disgrace in us and you hid your face and you helped the Soul Reapers or whatever." And he was like banished from the clan, but he came back because he realized, you know, once he lost his Bankai, you know, he needs something else to continue to fight. So he went to him to ask for their secret technique. And we figure out or find out what their secret technique is, which I'm still kind of confused about. Because it was like, our human form, like once you relinquish, because they're werewolves, that's really what they are. And I'm assuming, he was saying in the past, we, I guess, terrorized humanity. So our punishment was we're stuck in dog forms and we were subject to, like, exile or something like that. I could be way off, but that's what I was getting from when he was talking to him.
I gotta look at it because I don't remember, but you can continue.
That's what I was getting from it. It says it's
punishment for the sins they committed while alive. So whatever that means.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, okay, you know, that's pretty cool. Some, you know, some lore, some werewolf lore. And then he was like, once you transform to a human, you like store, you have to rip out your heart and leave it here. And then your body becomes like an immortal vessel that you can just use in your inhuman form up until, I guess you, I don't know, like probably get your revenge.
Run out of spirit or energy.
Yeah, maybe that was it. But he was like, it made it seem like it was just infinite. And that, then when he said that, I was like, okay, so this dude is just going to like be able to just fight anybody for however long, basically. But then it was like once, like you said, he ran out of spirit energy during the episode. But it seemed like he was like, once you get your revenge or whatever, then your body just turns to a dog completely and you lose any ability to communicate like a human and everything. So you just basically turn into a full-fledged dog. But I'm pretty sure his mind is still there because he was still talking, like it was giving us his like inner monologue after he turned into a dog. He was like, was it worth it? And it went to flashbacks of it was a guy who was working with Aizen, who was right, you know, one of his teammates, so, or whatever.
Yeah, before you continue, let me update you on where I am on like the Bleach manga. So like I just got done with the Aizen arc. Mm-hmm. That dude is crazy. I just got done with the Aizen arc. I just wanted to clear up some things, add some context to the story, since I'm like, I have to be the Bleach historian for the show so that we can know what's going on. So like the Aizen arc, Urahara, he wasn't, I know we were talking about Urahara comparing him to the other scientist guy. Urahara wasn't actually like a
conducting
like
human experiments.
Yeah, he didn't actually conduct those experiments. He was framed by Aizen. So like he never actually did any like inhumane experiments.
Okay, okay.
So that's the thing.
But he did create the Hoagie Cube though, right?
Yeah, he created that.
Okay. But that's not like bad. That's not inherently bad. No, but it's only bad when Aizen was trying to use it.
Right. And okay, Aizen also created one of those, but his like failed.
Okay, okay.
Before thing. But Aizen's just like, he's like a true villain. Like it's so funny. Like he's like one of those characters.
He wants
that
to become
like,
God, bro. Right. He wants to be the Soul
King. He was like so like warped and like he was just like funny because like every time someone would do something, first of all, he took on, I thought that during this arc, like the,
didn't he fight like all the captains? And
yes.
Win?
Like I thought like during like the Quincy arc, like was the first time the captains just got like overwhelmed and like showed how
no,
weak
Aizen
are.
Was him. I knew that.
But
I knew
Aizen,
that.
Like,
yeah, I knew Aizen was him. I knew he was him. That's what I did know. I know like his Bankai, he can like warp reality to make it seem like it's right. Crazy. It's like an Inception kind of thing.
But even like besides that, like he was just so powerful even without using that power. Like he was just like that powerful for some reason. But yeah, to add context to this with Tozen, which is the guy in the flashback that he was saying was his friend that died and he like made the same mistake that he did. Like he didn't follow his own advice.
He was out for revenge too, right?
Right.
He was like, you need to stop.
Like Tozen,
it won't get you anything.
He was a blind black captain of the court guard and he went with Aizen during the Aizen arc. And he betrayed all the captains, obviously. And like his thing was like his friend had died before he had become like a captain in the Soul Society, before he even like joined them, the court guards. His friend died and like they had joined the court guards and they died. And then he wanted to get revenge for them because he felt like the world was like unjust, basically. And he was all about like justice and stuff like that. So he joined, mm-hmm. He ended up joining up with Aizen to just create like a world of
that
peace.
World, yeah.
Yeah. Like he didn't want to fight. And his whole thing was like, if you're not afraid of your own sword, like you don't understand like what fighting truly means. Like you should fear your own weapon and fighting and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, they definitely felt that later on when they tried to come and kill him.
For sure. And then he had this whole thing where he was fighting during that final scene before he died, and he turned into like his hollow form and he could see for a little bit. And then he ended up getting stabbed by the guy with like the 69 like tattoo on his face because he was part of his squad. Yeah, 6'9". I think it was like Shuei or something. So yeah, and then he got stabbed in the back while he was fighting the dog captain, because the dog captain and him were like best friends.
Okay.
And then he like blew up. Like after they defeated him, they were like having like a heart to heart. And he was like, come closer, I want to see your face. Because like, he was blind the whole time. Like, he had never seen them before.
And then, and he was trying to set him up to kill him too?
And then Aizen blew him up.
I thought he was like trying to suicide bomb. No, like, if I'm going to die, this is my last chance.
No, he was just laying there. And then they were like talking to him. And like, he was getting his last words out. And then he just like exploded.
Okay.
But just to add context to him and the dog guy, Komamura's character.
Okay. Cool. His Bankai was pretty cool, though. After he took the armor off, it was like the armor was his life energy, and he has no life energy when his armor is gone, so the Quincy's powers couldn't work because she can turn anything that comes in contact with her Reichi or whatever becomes a bomb. It was like she wasn't blowing stuff up. She was turning whatever came in contact into a bomb. And he was like, there's no life energy here, so this won't hurt me. Even though he was still getting like blown up on his body, but then that's when he explained, like, this body is just a vessel. It's like immortal. I'm not really here. I'm not really taking any damage.
Yeah, like he doesn't have a life to lose. He already is like, yeah, he's just like gave it away. A shell of like Reishi or whatever, like spirit energy.
Yeah. And then I'm assuming that's how that dog lives forever, though. He just eats the hearts of other people. He was like, thank you for this gift. Without maybe, you, I wouldn't know. Be able to live or something. He said something along those lines, and then he ate his heart, and then
yeah. I don't think I've seen the dog so far.
In the manga, they probably don't talk about it because I think that's the first time they showed him, like last season, part one, when he went to go back and talk to him. I don't think they really touched on his heritage or who he was.
Yeah,
I think people just knew he was a humanoid dog, and that was it. Because remember, he used to wear a mask, and then he stopped wearing a mask. What was it when they were trying to save what's her face, Rukia? That's when he took his mask off for the first time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Even though that's the first time we see him, too. But yeah. And then he just stopped wearing his helmet. But I don't think anybody ever asked him. I'm pretty sure they knew, like, context of who he is and why he's like that. But I don't think the viewers knew. I don't think there was any extra dialogue about it.
Nah, there wasn't. Ever since the Soul Society invasion arc, everyone, we knew he was a dog. We just didn't know why he was a dog, per se.
Yeah.
But, that happened.
But the episode was pretty cool. The fight was decent.
It was alright. He's not really...
Yeah, that's why I say it was decent. The CGI Bankai freaking giant dude was like, alright, it's okay. Yeah, and he was just swinging. It wasn't really any action. But the wrestling dude, though, he was fighting a little bit.
At the end of the episode?
Yeah,
that was funny. Like, I didn't take that seriously.
Get up. His little like, partner or referee, he was like, get up. He's like, the underdog or something, the superstar never loses. And then he was like, just popped right up, like Undertaker.
Yeah.
Just stood up. And they were like, what?
And he kept saying, like, round. English words, and that's just what made me laugh.
Yeah. He's pretty cool. Even though he didn't use any Quincy stuff, he was just, maybe he has, like, Quincy-infused attacks or something, but it looked like he was just literally body slamming them.
Yeah, he's just power-bombing them, dropping elbows. That's why I wasn't taking that fight funny, but it has like Ikkaku and Shuhei, like the 6'9 guy in it, so that's why it's funny that they're fighting him. And the thing about them is they're really powerful.
Yeah, but they didn't use their Bankais against him at all. They didn't use.
Nah.
So I was like, I found that kind of weird, especially after, because they started fighting them before the Hollow Pills were sent out by Urahara, and then when they sent them out, I was like, okay, maybe they're going to use their Bankai because they don't have any, you know, it's not going to get taken. They don't have to, you know, worry about it, about losing it. But they just kept fighting them normally. But I guess it was working, so they were like, we don't need to use it. But then he popped back up and just, like, one-shotted all of them.
Right. And one thing I think that was like more subtle that I want to know more about is like,
oh, why the girls don't like her?
Not why they don't like her, but why she got beat, and then the girls come and they're like, "We'll help you."
And then she's like, no, don't
do it. So, like, I wonder, are they going to, like, absorb her or something? Like,
maybe
that's, like, fuse. The vibe.
Maybe they're all, like, personalities of one person.
Maybe.
And then they fuse together to become a one. And that could be a stretch. But because it seemed like she was very just one, like, her idea. Like, the way she acted, it was no emotion to it. It was just, like, the same all over. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, it was a split personality from one person, and this is the emotion that she is. That could be a reach, like, crazy, but that's what it felt like to me.
And the only reason I don't think it's, like, special to her is because, like, Ishida also, like, popped up on a couple different, like, Quincy's that were, defeated or, like, dying. Like, the robot mm-hmm. Quincy and a different one. So I want to know, like, I feel like it has something to do with, like, they're just gonna, like, absorb them or something.
Oh, take
that's
their power.
That's just what I'm predicting. I don't know though.
Wait, Ishida popped up on a robot dude though. When that happened? Last episode?
The episode or we just episode watched.
He showed up to the robot guy and was like, "It's okay now," or something like that. After he was destroyed,
it was something like, I don't think Ishida even said anything. It was just like the robot said, "Like, I'm 45% recovered," or something, and like Ishida like popped through the shadows.
Okay, wait, I gotta go back. I don't remember that. This is not, none of this happened. That didn't happen. Them sitting like kneel down.
Yeah, that's new. So yeah. But yeah, it doesn't, the Ishida part doesn't even look like it's in the manga, but like,
I don't think that happened. I don't remember seeing that.
No, it happened. He popped up out of the shadow. It was right before the girls popped up on the the girl.
Okay. Okay.
So I don't know. I feel like it's gonna be something.
I think I was wrong about Ichigo getting that power up too, because that's not what that was. I guess it was just all, I'm pretty sure, this is my prediction, I'm pretty sure Ichigo is going to become the Soul King at the end of this arc.
Really?
That's my, because it was like, he was walking and then he was like, "Are you a vessel that's strong enough to hold all of the responsibility, or are you a bowl that will shadow, like, that will shatter?" And then I said shadow. that will shatter. And then after that, he like absorbed everything. He was seeing all of everything happening, and he was just screaming. And his body was like imploding, or like exploding and bubbling up. And then it just went back to him being normal. And then it showed some girl sitting down, and he was like, "Whatever else you need me to do, I'm ready for it." So I'm pretty sure he got to the end of the road, or he's like having an internal vision right now.
It's in, on top of the cat closet.
But I think he's going to become the Soul King, or he's going to be able to have the Soul King's power for a period of time to help them win this war. But that's what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
And then that's when I was like, this episode for me didn't really do much.
Yeah, I feel like the big part was Komamura, but like, I wasn't, like, I'm not really a big fan of his. So like, seeing him, like, his power was cool. Like, he had a cool power up, but
and it was short ended. Like, he, I don't think he died though. I don't think he died. I think he just got turned into a dog and he can't be a human anymore. He's just a full fledged dog.
What does that mean for him now though? Like, he's not really him if he's just a dog.
I mean, he is him. He can still think. Like, he was talking to himself. I think he's just a human trapped in a dog's body.
That sounds terrible. Man.
I mean, it probably would suck, but I mean, he can still,
I mean, if he can talk, I guess it's not the worst.
They can give him those buttons.
The buttons, like, they on TikTok.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, like the dog, they press the button.
Hello. Food. Hi. No, that would suck.
It would suck. I mean, it's better than dying, though. He can still run around. He can still move. And I mean, that's his true form.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad for him, though, because, like,
wanted to kill.
He sacrificed
Yowich.
His
life. He didn't even get to fight Yowich.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he sacrificed his, like, life to beat someone that wasn't
even
the person he was trying to beat.
Yeah. That does suck. I was hoping he would get at least be able to get to the castle and see him.
Yeah.
And then transform back. But somebody scooped him up. He's like, all right, let's go, Captain.
Yeah, the glasses guy. I forgot his name. I think the only other thing is this with, I forgot which letter Quincy this is, but the guy outside of the second in command, basically, the guy who was outside the little force field
the barricade
she put up.
And did we talk about that last episode, how he was like, you should have just showed everybody else how to do this, even though it would have been perfect. It would have been better than you perfecting it and only one person being able to use it.
Yeah, we talked about that, I think.
Okay. And then he just left. He's like, yeah, I'll be back. He's like, all right, I'll be waiting for when you're ready to fight.
That's the thing with this guy. He's always like, he always gets like the chill fight.
This captain, but he's also fighting like the top person.
Yeah, but he always gets like the coolest person to fight, like the enemy faction.
Yeah,
like they're
yeah.
like when he was doing the Aizen arc, the guy that he fought was like he was like number one. He wasn't the strongest. He was like second strongest because Yami was number zero. But he was
Yukiura?
Like really.
Is that who it was? No, that's who Ichigo fought, right?
Wait. Yokora or is it Yukiura?
Yukiura?
Or Yokora?
I think it's Yukiura. That's who he fought though?
Yeah, Ichigo fought him.
Okay.
And Grimmjow.
Okay.
Well, Ichigo fought a lot of people. But
yeah. I mean he fought everybody damn near. So.
That was like the last fight in Hyukomondo was Yokora or Yukiura, whatever it is. But the guy he fought was like really chill. Like they didn't even want to fight each other, really. Like they were avoiding fighting each other the whole time. And then the guy was like, well, it looks like I got to fight you. He's like, yeah, I know. Sucks. I wish we could just leave, honestly, but we have to fight each other. So it's always funny with him. And then these three are always in dumb shit, and they're always funny. And then the guy with the flower, like the pretty boy guy that's with them, his Bankai is actually really good, but he doesn't use it because it's... in their like squad, like it's ran by like Kenpachi, and like it's frowned upon to use
use Bankai, right?
Well, not to use Bankai, use like a like how do I say it? Like an ability type Bankai. Like brute force is more like the vibe of like their squad. And if you use like an ability type sword, it's like frowned upon.
Because
his Bankai is like it just like it's like a tree, not like a tree, but like it like captures you and then it just like pause, like sucks out your energy, sucks out your power.
Okay. It's like a siphon.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And like he doesn't use it often. Like he's only used it like twice. And he doesn't like to use it because like it's frowned upon. So he's only used it when it was like in complete secret. Like no one saw it.
Okay.
And then Ikkaku also has a good Bankai, but he doesn't usually use it because he doesn't want everyone to know about his Bankai because he doesn't want to get promoted to captain because he wants to fight under Kenpachi. But yeah, I think that's everything about this episode for the most part. It was all right. I feel like
it was okay. Yeah,
I feel like once Ichigo returns to the fight, it'll get a lot more hype for me. Because the characters, like the captains, they're like okay, but they're not like my favorite characters.
Yeah,
like I like Kenpachi and Byakuya, and
when the head captain showed up though.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was crazy. Yeah, that was crazy. Even though he was fighting a clone and got clapped, but...
Right.
That's so crazy. That's
funny because he also got beat by in the Aizen arc, too. I forgot he even fought during that.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro.
And the reason he's captain is because no one has come in 1,000 years who's stronger than him, apparently.
But he
that's
keeps
why
losing.
He's captain. But he's lost twice and died.
Yeah.
But... At least you get to see. It's like they show how powerful he is, but like they don't give him like a W.
Yeah.
Still. But we did see back in the day what he was doing, so
Yeah, yeah. When he killed all the Quincy's.
That was
piles
crazy.
Of bodies. That was crazy.
But let me describe Rurouni Kenshin here. Oh yeah, in my prediction for Bleach, I think that the people that lost their battles are gonna get absorbed somehow. Like, they're just gonna, like, take in their power for some reason, because they don't, like, tolerate losing or something. But for Rurouni Kenshin, Jason didn't watch the episode, so I'm gonna just describe it, summary.
Yeah, sorry guys, I forgot.
No, it's fine. So here's what happens. Okay, so that's unimportant. So, okay, yeah. The girl who runs the shop, she finds a painting by her grandfather, because her grandfather was a swordsman and also, like, a painter. It's like an ink painting that looks really good. And she, like, comes out in the beginning of the episode, and she's like, look, like, I found this painting. It's going to be worth, like, a lot of money. I'm going to sell it. My grandfather made it. So, like, we're going to have some money. So then she says, I'm going to take you guys out for dinner. It's on me. We're going to go to a fancy place. So then they go to this place, and then the fighter guy is here with the bandana. And these three people right here, they were democratic activists. So, like, I had to look up a little bit about, like, imperialism this episode, because they kept talking about imperialism and democracy. So, like, Kenshin, he was part of the imperialist army that took over Japan, Revolutionary Army, whatever it was. And, like, imperialism, I guess, just means when you take over a territory by force, like military power or something like that. So, he was part of that Revolutionary Army that took over. And that's just part of his character description. But these guys, they're just democratic activists. They were just in the restaurant, like, drunk, just, like, talking really loud, like, everyone was looking at them, and they were just talking about, like, democracy the whole time. And then one of them threw a vase or glass bottle or something, because they were trying to hit, like, one of each other, and then accidentally hit Kenshin. And then the lady that works there was like, hey, like, you guys are, like, being rowdy,
you need
and you
to
just
leave.
Hurt someone. Yeah, basically, that's what she said. And then the big dude was about to punch her in the face, because he was like, what? And then he was about to punch her. And then the bandana guy comes, and he's like, saves her, basically. Like, he moves her out of the way, and he's like, what are you doing? And then the big dude gets mad, and then they challenge each other to a fight, so they go outside. And then the big dude is carrying, like, this secret weapon. Like, he's going in for a punch on a bandana dude, and he's carrying, I forgot what it's called. I don't know what it is. It's probably, like, equivalent to, like, brass knuckles, but it was, like, circular and, like, on his wrist, I guess. And he punches him, and then it goes through his hand because, like, his head is so hard or something. Like, he just, like, injures himself. And then he's like, I don't even need to, like, use my full power to beat you. Like, I'll just beat you with one finger. So then the dude runs in and he flicks him in the forehead, and then he gets knocked out like that. And then his man tries to pull his sword out, and then Kenshin steps in. He's like, you know, you're pulling blades out. Like, if this was just a regular drunk fight, I wouldn't step in, but, you know, you can't do that. So then Kenshin gets behind him, and then dude puts his sword back, and then they all run off because they're scared. That happens, and then bandana dude turns out to be a hired fighter, I guess. It's not really an assassin, because they didn't go out of their way to say assassin.
Like a mercenary.
Yeah, but he just, like, fights people. He doesn't kill them. So then he gets hired by the people from the first episode that were pretending to be Kenshin. Like the old dude and the big dude.
Yeah.
So they hire him, and they're like,
I thought they got
guy.
Put in prison. They're
they
still
did,
around.
But they escaped.
Oh, okay, prison. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, they were like, I hate Kenshin so much. Like, that's how much I hate him. Like, I escaped prison, like Leslie says. So then he hires, and this guy, he just really likes to fight. And, like, he really wants to find, like, skilled fighters to fight. So it's, like, a challenge.
So he's Goku?
Yeah, basically. So then they're like, you'll really like this fight. Like, they tell him They tell him who Kenshin really is, like his revolutionary, like army background, like who he was. And then there's this funny scene where like he dresses up like him for a second. It was really funny. So they hire him. He goes to fight Kenshin, and then at the dojo or whatever. Mind you, he already challenged Kenshin to a fight the first time they met.
Right, but now he's like, I really want to, now that I know who he is.
Yeah, so then he comes to the dojo, he pulls up, and then he explains to Kenshin, like, drop the act, like, I know who you are, like, your first job was to be an assassin, and then your second job was, like, to protect this army or kingdom or royal force or whatever it was, like, and that's what you're known for, like, I know who you are. And, like, the kid didn't know that that was Kenshin's background. So he was, like, surprised at first. So then, yeah, that happens.
He's like, what? He's him. Yeah. He's really him.
And then Kenshin is like, okay, like, I'll fight you. And the two guys are, like, hiding behind, like, their, like, dojo gates. And he's like, I already know that Kenshin's going to beat him. Because, like, come on, it's impossible to beat him. Like, he's, like, literally a legend. But, like, he's at least going to put up a fight and hurt him. So, like, when Kenshin's vulnerable, I'm gonna pull out a gun and shoot him. So, that's what he said. And then so Kenshin's like, you know, I know you guys are back there.
Did he just basically cut the bullet?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's like, I know you guys are hiding back there. Like, he accepts the fight and he's like, I know you guys are back there. So then they come out, like, stop hiding. And then this guy, the bandana dude's like, I know what you guys are planning to do. He's like, hand it over. And he's like, what are you talking about? And then he like takes his gun out of his shirt and then he like tosses it up in the air and then crushes it between his knuckles, like obliterates. And then,
you know what's crazy about like stuff like this? It's always super serious. I bet I didn't watch it, but I bet when I do go and watch it, it's going to feel serious, but it's like, you know, it's not serious. Like when he's about to pull the gun out, it's like a tone. You know how shows do that? Like it's such a serious moment that's about to happen and like it's a dire situation. But since you know it's an anime or a cartoon, it's like, it's not about to happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not even, So it's like, it becomes funny. It becomes funny more so than stressful.
Yeah, they're also funny characters. So, like, I already know nothing they do is going to work. But yeah, he crushes the gun and he's like, let's get away from this dojo. Let's go to river because my weapon is, like, too big for, like, this dojo. Let's go by the river and fight. So they go, and this dude pulls out his fucking Zanpak toe out of his wrapper. He pulls out
this cloud sword, man. That's cloud sword.
He pulls out his giant sword, which is like, it's really blunt. He's like, I can't cut anything with it, but like, I can like demolish. Like, I can like blunt force you to death, basically. And then they're like, what? That's like a legendary sword or whatever. And then Kenshin's like, okay, let's fight. And then they start fighting. This guy swings at Kenshin. Kenshin dodges it. And then he's like, what? He's behind me? And then Kenshin hits him. Obviously, he doesn't, like, slice him in half. He probably hits him, like, the blunt of his sword or something. But he, like, goes flying, like 20 feet. And then there's a bunch of smoke. And then the kid's like, yes, like, you got him. And then he just, like, steps out of smoke, like, unharmed. And then that was the end of the episode.
Okay.
So, yeah. That is everything that helped happen. But I think the most, like, interesting thing was this guy's background. Because Kenshin asked him, like, why are you always, like, fighting people? Like, what is your... Like, how did you get to this point where you're just, like, fighting people for fun? And he had, like, a little flashback of, like, somebody in, like, a purple, like, suit. Or not suit, but, like, uniform. Looked like a fighter of some kind, and he was like, that doesn't matter, or something like that. Just know that I hate imperialists. And then that was it. So it probably has something to do with the revolution of some kind. That was it. Imperialism is, I don't know, take it how you want it. I had to look up imperialism because I was like, what is imperialism? And like, I wanted, like, I guess a modern day example would be like China and Taiwan. That's like what I thought of when I first read the description. Mm-hmm. Like, they're trying to, like, take... They're trying to, like, add Taiwan to China. Basically, like, not make it, like, an independent place, but, like, make it a part of China through military force. And, like, Taiwan is fighting back. And then we're also... America is, like, aiding Taiwan to, like, fight back. So, like, that's... That's, like, an example of, like, imperialism that I could think of.
Wait, say that again? You said Taiwan's trying to take... over China? What?
No, China's trying to take over Taiwan.
Take over Taiwan, okay. And that's currently happening right now.
Right. And yeah, like...
I need to start watching the news, bro. Like...
I don't watch the news at all.
I mean, you know, I know. Obviously, you were just looking it up for this, but, you know, like, I don't know what's going on in the world. I mean, I know some stuff that's going on in the world, but, like, outside of my little bubble, bro, I'd be...
No, I feel that.
I'd be chilling, man.
I listen to a lot of podcasts. So that's, I get some news from that. Like, sometimes I hear about something and I'll look it up.
Because that's, like, real news, you know what I'm saying? Not, like, stuff that's local news. Like,
yeah,
a kid lost his bike today. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, that's real world news. Like, just what's going on. And it's good to know. Even though it's not really affecting you, it's just good to know what's going on, what's happening.
You know? Right. The China-Taiwan thing's been happening for a while. So. And then what else is... Not to go off on a tangent, but did you see any of the alien stuff?
Yeah, I did. I did see the alien stuff. I saw the guy at the presser or whatever at the court hearing. She was like, can you confirm that there were biological substances of, like, non-human? And he was like, yes, I can confirm. And then it was just like, I guess they were like, yeah, we have alien aircrafts and something else. But my whole thing is, like, I seen a map, right? That it was a map showing of where all the UFO sightings are at. And more than, like, 90% of them are in the U.S. and only the U.S. compared to, like, every other country in this planet. Like, there's a few. If I can find it, I'll send it to you. But it was, like, only UFO sightings seen are in the U.S. Like, nowhere else is really reporting UFO sightings like this. And then, two, I feel like... I definitely do. I think I'm a firm believer that aliens exist, not in the sense of, like, green people come to our planet and stuff like that, but in the sense of the universe is so fast and so big. Like, it's more likely that there's not another planet like ours in the universe than there is. Or there is, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, it's more likely that there's another planet just like ours somewhere in the galaxy or in the universe rather than there not being one and we're the only planet with living, you know, beings.
Right.
So I believe in aliens in the sense of that. If they did make it to Earth and they're from a different planet, I doubt they would get captured by the U.S. that's what I think. At least, I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping. But if you can travel across space to another planet, you know how advanced your technology has to be. And for you to get captured, and even if you do get captured, and not be able to, like, kill the people that captured you. Like, it would have been more convincing if it was like, aliens arrived on the planet. We tried to stop them, and they whooped our ass, and now they're gone. More so than aliens arrived on our planet. We captured them, and we kept it secret. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't know. That's just, to me, it doesn't make sense. But it's interesting. I don't want to be like a conspiracy theorist or anything like that, because people are like, oh, this is just a distraction because something else bigger is happening. So they're putting this out so people are distracted, which I think is some like that happens from time to time. I don't think on the grand scale that people say it does, but I definitely think there's, you know, agendas for stuff like that. Like, oh, we got to distract the general masses because something else is happening. I don't know what that is or what it could be. But yeah.
Yeah, man. I feel like it would be. Like, I feel like there definitely should be aliens or some, just like life outside of Earth. I feel like it has to be a thing. Cause, like, I feel like it's just too coincidental for us to be the only place with life just in the entire universe.
Yeah.
But I have seen like maps like that where you're saying with like the alien sightings and like it is like very only much just America. And, like, a lot of it just, like, in rural areas in America. So, like, I don't really know if I believe if people say they've seen aliens or not. But I don't know. I just wanted to see if you saw any news about it. Because apparently there's like a video from Las Vegas, but I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I saw that. It was like a giant green thing or some giant light in the sky, and it crashed in somebody's backyard. And then the police were like, what's back there? And then the police were like, don't go back there, even though it was his own backyard or something. Like, they were trying to hide something. I don't know. It was a weird video. I don't know if that's the one you're referencing, but I seen a video like that, like, I want to say a month or two ago.
I think that might have been that. Okay. Let's, how'd you feel about JJK?
Oh, yeah. Amazing episode. Episode of the week, by far. To me. I don't know if you're going to feel the same.
Well, what'd you like about it?
The fight between Toji and Ghetto was really good. We also got information about, so the heavenly restriction works just like, you know, curse techniques. If you explain them, they get stronger. Because when they started fighting, you know, at first when they started fighting, he just sent his dragon at him, and then his dragon like captured him in his mouth, and he was just shooting bullets back at him while he was in the dragon's mouth. And then he hopped off the dragon and was like sliding down the building, and then they ended up in like the houses, or I don't know what that place is down there. I know that's where Tangen is at, but it seemed like
it was like a big dojo or something.
Yeah, and so they were walking, and Ghetto kind of lost him through like the scuffle and all the commotion after they landed, and Toji's just explaining to him like, yeah, you know, I don't have any cursed energy. I'm basically an invisible man. That's how I got into the school, and I was able to sneak attack, you know. That's so crazy. I just forgot his name. Like, it's always like that. As soon as you think about something, you just forget his name. Yeah, Gojo. I snuck attack Gojo, and that's how I got in, because I have no cursed energy, so I'm like the invisible man. Nobody can see me or sense me. And then he was like, I also, since I have no cursed energy, I have, you know, amplified physical strength. And then Ghetto was like, stop talking, because I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to explain your thing to me so you become even stronger. Even though it's like crazy, because he still beat him easily, pretty much, without increasing his heavenly restriction or whatever. And then Ghetto starts shooting like the floor, the top of the ceiling, because he's like, oh, I found him. And then he's just behind him, just looking at him. He's like, yeah, I'm not there. And then he's like, that little curse that I have with me is like a bag, and I can store all my cursed items in there. And what I do is I can shrink him down, and I swallow him. And then he's inside my intestines. So since he's so small, I can walk around with him and store all my weapons and items. And then when I need him, I just basically throw him back up. And then he grows, and then he wraps around me, and then I can pull out whatever, you know, item I need, which I thought was really cool. And I was right about him taming it. Like, they said it's a servant master relationship, which
yeah,
I guess you can say that's what pets are. Sounds so bad to say, but that's, you know, like, that's basically what pets are. Yeah, it's a pet. Yeah. So I was right about that, which is pretty cool. And Toji overall is just a cool character. So they're fighting some more, and then we see all of Ghetto's curse manipulations and curses he has that he's been using. Like, he used the dragon. The dragon got clapped. He pulled out a sword that just cut it in half like it was freaking butter. And then
Mappa Ghetto did some like, freestyling too.
Oh, you on the animation compared to what was in the
Because like,
he didn't cut it in half.
He did cut it in half. He didn't shoot first, like when it was carrying him.
Oh yeah,
and like in the manga, they stay like in the same kind of area. Spot.
Yeah,
but in the anime, like they like drop down, like he like knocks out like the floor or whatever it was, like the railing, and then they fall and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were in a hallway. That hallway was just free falling. Yeah. Did that happen in the manga or no?
No, it doesn't happen.
Okay, so they were just free falling, and then that's when the one curse pops up, the girl with the like the bandages and stuff, and she's like, "Am I pretty?"
Yeah.
He was like, "I'm gonna be brutally honest. You're not my type." And then Ghetto explained basically it causes non-violence. Like, they can't fight each other at all until they answer her questions. And he was like, "All right." let me answer the questions to see how this technique really works. And then when he answered with, I guess, a answer that the, you know, the curse doesn't like, it'll attack you. Like, they didn't show all of this in the animation. It was just like snip, 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 and then his ear was bleeding, and his, like, a little bit of his hair was cut off, and he was like, okay, I see how it works. And then he pulled out a sword, the reverse. It was like, yeah, Heavenly Reversal. What's the name of that sword
reverse
again?
I think it's like Reverse Cursed Sword, I think.
It had like a crazy, like, cool name too, but he pulled that out, and he just like, ching, 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 yeah. Just ranks it, and then, that's when Ghetto was like, all right, dang, this dude is, you know, pretty good. And then he was like, he has no curse energy, so this little thing should be like a low-grade curse, and I should be able to just absorb it without having to, like, make it submit. And then what I was thinking, before you sent me, like, the manga panel with the author notes or whatever explaining what happened,
yeah,
I thought that Toji, even though he has no curse energy, I thought that thing was a high-grade curse. But he's just so him that he was able to tame it, regardless of what, you know, like, what it was. But no, it just so happens they had, like, a relationship already. I guess the relationship was stronger than what was needed to cause it to submit, which is, I think it's still kind of weird. Like, even though, because based on what Ghetto was saying, I still feel like even if there's a curse that's already has an owner, if it really is that weak, and I'm this strong, I should be able to just force it to, you know, come to me. But I guess the bond is that strong.
I think the tight bond is how they explain why he can't do it. And, like, I thought originally, I didn't even think that hard about it. I thought Toji was just so fast, he just, like, hit him.
Oh, like, he just stopped it?
Yeah.
No, I thought it was just, like, that strong, and he couldn't do it. Because he was like, what? When it didn't work? He was like, what?
See, and like, then, it hits his hand his way. I thought it was Toji that hit his hand away, but it was the spirit itself.
And so, then after that, he just, like, slices his chest, and, yeah.
Just extra.
And then he kicks him in the head, and he also says, you guys really let a monkey outdo you. Like, a non-cursed energy monkey like me was able to do this. Like, you guys should be ashamed or something like that. And then he kicked him in the head. And then he was like, I couldn't kill you because if I killed you, all the curses that you have would probably just run wild. And that would be more of a, you know, problem than this.
Yeah.
And this is where I think, I mean, I'm pretty sure this is where the shift happens with Ghetto's, like, ideologies. And when he's like, all, like, these people are just monkeys, they're useless. I think him losing to him and him killing, what's her name, really changed how he feels about regular humans. Or, but it's like weird because he has no curse energy. I guess that's the whole thing. He wants sorcerers. He feels like the whole world should be sorcerers because that way it'll, you know, get rid of, I don't know, like,
just
a power,
like,
balance or
people,
weak people. But it's like,
matter.
This dude is so strong even though he has no curse energy.
Yeah.
But I think he's just hateful towards, because of what Toji did. And so, yeah. And I think he subconsciously heard him say it, even though he was knocked out. And I think that's when it becomes like his a part of his vocab, calling people monkeys.
That might be. I don't know.
And he just walks out, and he shows up to the Star Plasma Vessel people. He's like, yeah, here's the body. All right, give me the money. And he was like, the dude was like, I actually didn't think you were going to be able to do it. But now that you did it, yeah, you can have anything you want. Go ahead. He was like, you know, the world might end. Yeah, they gave him a bonus. He's like, you know, the world might end. He's like, I don't care. We're going to see our God ascend. And if that means we die with him, it's whatever. Like, that's what we want. And then he was in the background like, these people are fucking crazy. And then his agent, the middleman guy, was like, all right. They walk out. And he's like, we got all this money. You should take me to one of the restaurants. You take our clients. And he was like, I'll never spend time with you outside of work. The only time I'll see you is in hell or at work. And then he just leaves. And then Toji was like, he didn't really say anything. He was just like, okay, whatever. He just started walking away. And then Himothy shows up.
Oh, you're saying he was him.
Yeah, he was him, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Toji's him too. They're both him. But Gojo's just really him. So Gojo shows up, and he's like, I think he was like, long time no see or something like that, or
yeah,
something,
yeah,
along those lines.
Long time no see.
And then he was like, what the heck? This dude's alive. And he was like, you don't realize what you just did, but I'll explain it to you. He was like, you don't realize what you did, but I'll explain it to you. After you stabbed me, like, you made me really connect with curse energy and figure out like the essence of curse energy. And he was like, when you stabbed me, I just stopped trying to fight back, and I completely used all my energy to like, you, it was like two negatives make a positive. Like he was like doing multiple cases. He was like, basically when I do that, I can heal my body. So even though you stabbed me, I was healing myself. And then once I was fully healed, I showed back up. And not only that, but now I have an even stronger connection with like my red, my blue, and I can create purple because now I know how to use curse energy to a T, basically. And then he was like, this dude is high. And he was just like, he was high on light. Like I feel like he was in a place of where he just felt like, bro, I have a supreme connection to everything. Cause like he figured out, it seems like he knows exactly how curse energy works to a T. Like he is the strongest, you know, sorcerer ever. Well, I'm not going to say ever, but currently he's the strongest sorcerer in the world. And I feel like it just clicked, like the switch just clicked, you know, like he's in flow state, but always in flow state, you know what I mean? Like he's always flow state and he just understands everything and he's just like, life is just,
he's just high.
It's a whole different experience.
Like, if you
right
come
now.
Back alive, basically, I feel like, yeah, you probably feel kind of high.
But I don't even think it's just that he survived like death. I think it's just his connection with the world. Cause you know, like everything has cursed energy. Technically everything has cursed energy or like some fool. I just feel like he can feel the earth like in a different way. And he's just like, dude, I feel like they had that whole thing. He was like, I'm the chosen one. Like he feels like God or something. He was like on this earth. I'm the one that was chosen to have these two techniques and nobody else has it. And the light is just like shining down on him, and he's just floating in the sky.
Like SpongeBob.
Yeah, just floating in the sky. And then Ghetto's like, I ain't trying to hear none of that, basically. And he was like, all right, let's get to it. And
well, he was like, I got something for everything you can do.
Basically. Yeah, yeah. And then he was like, something's off. And he was like, yeah. Nah, this is cool, this is good. And then that's when he used purple. And just fucking took his whole right side of his body out, or left side of his body out. And then he was like, I don't really have anything to say, you know? But I'll give you this. My son is going to be sold off to the Zenin clan, so do what you want with that information. And, yeah. And then he was having, like, flashbacks to his son. And it's weird because in that flashback, he was like, when did I start caring about what people think about me? Because it seemed like he left the Zenin clan mainly because, you know, he had no curse energy. So they probably exiled him anyway. They're like, yeah, you're useless. You can't, you know, be used. And he was like, well, if that's the case, I don't care what any of you people think. I'm just going to live my life how I want to live it. And he had a son. But then he became like this like mercenary that hunts sorcerers. And it was like, how do you go from that to that? You know what I'm saying? And he's like, when did I change to trying to be something else, basically? And he was like, if I like me, usually I would have ran away from this fight because I know like I get nothing out of this. Like I'm not getting paid. Like it's nothing. Like why am I fighting you? I literally came here to kill that girl and that was it. Like I don't have a grudge against you. But he was like, if I could kill this dude, then I would literally crush the pinnacle of jutsu
world.
Sorcery. Yeah, like I would be, yeah. And so he was like, let's try it. And he fuck around, you know, and you find out. You know, like the graph showed up and he was all the way on the right. He was fucking around too much and he found out. He found out. And so that was cool. And then it had the whole, that's when the ending came in, but you know, it was more after. And that's when I was like, damn, the ending, like just, I don't know, the music, the song and everything, it made the whole sequence even better for me. Like it just all, the transition was really good. And then it goes to it goes back to Ghetto because he wakes up from being knocked out, and he's like trying to look for Toji. And then he finds
the curse worm
the curse, and is like, mommy. And he's like, he just has a face of like anger. It's like anger and confusion. He's just like, you know, and then he absorbs it. And then he's looking to try to find where they got, what's her name's body. And then he comes across Gojo, because I guess it's a bunch of facilities. That's what Gojo was saying. Like, it was a whole bunch of facilities, so I can see why it took you so long to get here. But, yeah, it's already taken care of. I got her body, and then everybody was just cheering and clapping. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
I was so confused. Like, I didn't,
when he opened the door.
When I first watched it, I didn't think it was, like, a real thing. Like, I thought he was, like, imagining things or something.
He opened the door, because it was, like, black and red. Like, that was the tone. And then when he opened the door, it was, like, all, like, white, blue light. And then you just hear cheering and clapping. And then he walks in, and then you see Gojo with Riko in his arms walking out. And everybody just clapping and cheering. And then Gojo's like, you know, I really don't feel anything right now. So if you want to kill all these people, we can. But if you don't, it doesn't matter to me. So just let me know. And then Geto was like, nah, it's no point. It would be pointless. You need a reason. And then Gojo's like, do you really need a reason? He was like, yeah, it's a Jujutsu sorcerer. You always need a reason. And then not only that, he was also like the higher up. Like, these dudes are just, you know, they're just followers. Like, they didn't have any hand in this. They're just following their religion or whatever it is. Like, all the higher ups who really were in charge and caused this are probably gone anyway. So it wouldn't make any sense to try to kill, you know, these innocent people. And then the episode just ends. But I did see the author said when Gojo asked Geto that question, if he was being his moral compass in that situation, like Gojo probably would have killed all of them if Geto wasn't there anyway. Like, he probably wouldn't have asked. He probably would just did it. But since Geto showed up, he asked him, and based on what Geto was going to say is what he was going to do. And
okay.
I also think, I think Gojo is in the place now because he's like, he feels like God. I mean, how can you not? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're the strongest person in the world. You're literally like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. He just feels like, it's like, whatever, you know, like everything is beneath him at this point. And it's just like, whatever. He was like, it's, you know, like, he was like, we can kill everybody in here and I wouldn't feel any way. Like, it wouldn't mean more or mean less. Like, I, you know, it's whatever.
I'm still confused how Geto becomes the way he is and Gojo is the way he is.
But I think they both are flipping in this moment. Cause like, Geto wanted to say yes. Like, it was a dark shadow under him. I feel like he wanted to say yes, but the Jujutsu sorcerer in him was like, we can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the right thing to do. And I think,
but Gojo over time, was the one with the idea.
Yeah, I know. But, like, if you look at how Geto was, he took a long time to answer. He was thinking about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, no, we can't do it. It was like, you know, we might be able, yeah, like that. He didn't say that, but he, in his head, he was like, we might, you know, we might could low key, but he had to think about it. At least that's how I feel. He had to think about it. So I think it's going to be a switch, in ideologies over time. I don't know if there's how much more they're going to show. Cause I feel like that was like the end of the arc basically, you know, like everything happened, but I guess we got to see what happens with Tengen too. But
yeah, that's not
it. It did say the creator was saying Geto was being Gojo's moral compass for this moment. So, but Gojo, I mean, you can say the same. Gojo was like, I don't care. Like, we can or we can't. We cannot. You know, like, we can do it or we can't do it. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, kind of turned psycho.
I feel like he was more so asking for him, because even when he went to go fight Toji, he was like, I'm not even sad about what's her name dying. Like, I don't feel anything. I just feel bliss. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm connected with the world. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's just like, bro, everything, it doesn't matter. Like, he just feels like God.
He turns into a sociopath.
Yeah.
Basically. This episode was good. My only things were, I'm not mad that Toji died. But
I do feel like, damn, I was like, dang, why did Toji have to die? But it's like,
yeah, that's kind of how I felt too.
Because he's such a cool character, and he showed up in cool fashion, and he left out in cool fashion. So you can't be mad at it.
My only thing was, I don't know what they're going to do with Megumin, or Megumi, whatever it is. and his connection with his dad, obviously now because he's dead. But I thought, I didn't think Toji was going to die going into this episode. I thought he was going to live and then maybe later on Megumi would connect actually meet Megumi. Him. But now I see that's not going to happen.
But that's why Gojo takes care of him, though.
Yeah, that is true. But I feel like Gojo would have taken care of him whether he killed him or not.
He would have been sold off to the Zenin clan, though.
Well, I think he was going to get sold off. Well, Toji wasn't taking care of Megumi.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, I mean, his mom was with him, though, I'm assuming, because...
No, his mom wasn't either.
No, so who was just watching him?
They're both deadbeats. Yeah.
But who was watching his sister, right? His older sister?
Yeah, like his older sister, basically. Like, that's all they had, I'm pretty sure, until Gojo probably came along.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, like...
But he was going to regular school. Like, he wasn't in the clan. He was literally, remember in the last season, he was at a regular school. Like, he wasn't with Jujutsu or anything. And then Gojo, I'm pretty sure Gojo just showed up like, hey, you know who you are? Or this is your clan and stuff like this. And would you want to do this? I think he said he joined because his sister had a curse around her or something.
His sister is like, his sister has a curse and she's just like bedridden, like in a coma.
Yeah. And he's trying to figure out how to cure it, right? What to do to stop it. Isn't that why he joined?
So, I don't know what's going to happen with Megumi if he finds out anything about his dad. I don't think he even knows
Gojo killed
about
him.
His dad.
I don't think so either. I don't think he would care anyway.
Probably not. Yeah. But his character, probably not. But and then the other thing I'm interested in is what's going to happen with Tengen. So I have like three different like possibilities here. Either he's going to transform, because we know the school is still intact and he's still there in current time. So like, I feel like it would be really funny if like he does transform, but just like nothing happens.
Yeah, they were saying that's one of the options. They were just saying the worst outcome is that he transforms and he tries to take over the world or something like that.
Yeah. But, like, I can see, since she's dead, I could see either, like, somehow maybe they found another vessel. But wasn't it, like, the next day it was supposed to happen?
Like, they I think so. Like, it was a simulate. Yeah, if they don't do it now, then, you know, it I think that's why. I think they had
like
a time frame on it.
He, like, just evolves and, like, nothing happens. Which would make the story even more, like, ironic and funny.
Yeah, because all these people assimilated with him, and it's like, damn, we didn't need to do that. It's like, we didn't need to do that. But they were saying they don't leave. It's like they become Tengen. So Tengen is like all these people combined into one thing.
Okay. It's not just them taking their body?
Yeah. At least that's how Riko was explaining it. She was like, when you assimilate... Because remember, Gojo was like, why do you want to do this? Or why would you want to do this anyway? You're just going to die or something like that. And he was like, and she was like, when you assimilate, you don't die. You become one with Tengen. Me and Tengen are, Tengen is me and I am him. Like, we are the same thing. And my, you know, my memories and stuff will still be intact. But me as a person is gone, but I'm still there. It's like weird. It's like a weird thing. It's like a... like a butterfly kind of thing. You know how, like, is the caterpillar really the butterfly anymore? You know? Because, like, it metamorphoses. But it is, like, the caterpillar is the butterfly, but the butterfly, you know, like, I don't know. I think that's the kind of thing.
Geto made it seem like what she was saying was kind of just, like, coping to make herself
feel better. She was kind of feeling that way, too.
She's going to not be her. She's going to lose everything about her. She's not going to see anyone that she loves ever again.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the case. I felt it was more like a body switch type of thing.
Switch thing. Like he just takes over the body and keeps living through the body. But it's like, why are you pausing at this one phase? I know they said because they don't know what's going to happen next, but who's the one to say, like, oh, we can't let him, like, how long ago was it like, oh, if he gets to this next stage, it might, you know.
Like, what information do they have?
Yeah, to make them come to that conclusion, like, if he transforms again, it could be over. Is it just because he's going to become so strong? Is that what it was? Like, he'll be so strong that nobody can do anything if he wanted to?
I think it was that, and also, like, if he evolves, will he become not even him anymore? like, will he just be a different person in general who mm-hmm. may not want to protect Jujutsu society or keep up the barriers or do this job? And what if he just uses his power for something else? Or what if he just does nothing altogether? It just becomes just someone unrelated. So I don't know. But I guess we'll see next episode. I see there's a 1 year time skip, so but the animation was good. Gojo floating was funny.
Yeah.
He's just a real weirdo. I don't know how he becomes how he is now.
He said he's a real weirdo.
He was a weirdo during that episode.
I mean, he seemed pretty much the same. He seems more chill, but he's always been like eccentric. Like even now, yeah. He seems very, you know, it's just that he was more of a jackass when he was younger.
Yeah.
But now he's just like, he's still very out there, but not as brass and mean, I guess. Because he was definitely rude. A lot he was rude. Now. Yeah. I think he's the same. He's just nice. Instead of being mean. Like, it's the same personality, just not in the form of meanness. And even then, he wasn't really mean. He was just rude. He would just be saying stuff, and it's like, bruh, why are you being disrespectful like this?
And he's still disrespectful during fights. So,
yeah.
That's the whole thing.
But those are bad guys.
Yeah.
They deserve disrespect.
Like, I watched this one video of the dude, he, like, voiced over him fighting, like, the volcano head guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really funny because he was saying, like, this is one of the most disrespectful fights, like, in anime. And he was saying, like, he came and, like, beat him up. And then he, like, went all the way back to where Yuji was and then brought him back so he could watch. And then he started beating him up again. And then he let him do his ultimate move. And then he covered it with his own ultimate move. And then
killed yeah.
him. We didn't kill him, but he almost killed him.
Yeah. He absorbed his eminent domain with his own
domain expansion. What is this? Oh, yeah. I don't got any pictures to go with Zom 100.
Oh, that's cool. This one's fresh. Like, we both just watched this. This episode was really funny. It was cool. He got a lot done. He got, what, four things done on his bucket list?
What were the other three things besides
remember,
the
he
wine
was
and
like
dine.
Wine and dine, flight attendant, but he also wanted to just get on it, have a date, too. I guess that's technically a date. I don't know if he counts that as well, but, and he got his TV, his 8K,
that's
80-inch
true.
Display
He's playing
TV.
Call of Duty Black Ops.
Zombies. So it starts with them on the rooftop. They're having like a summer, like an outdoor, indoor home picnic kind of thing. The dude's cooking and he's like, dang, this rice is good. What's in here? And he's like, I use this ingredient. And then he was like, he's like, oh, okay. And he was like, what made you want to become a comedian or whatever? And he was like, I just wanted to become a comedian. You know, that's something I always wanted to do. And then he was like, on his, you know, writing on his bucket list. And he was like,
a wage slave.
He's like, what are you writing? He's like, oh, let me add stuff to this. And he's like, no, that's my list. And he was like, you saved me, so we should do it together. And he was like, all right, Kenshiro or whatever. That's his name, right? Kenshiro? Akira and Kenshiro.
Yeah.
And then so he was like, all right, let's go get this TV. They left to go get the TV. They show up at the electric store, and then it's a huge traffic jam of just cars. And then there's a zombie firefighter with a freaking fire hose that's shooting fire out. And then a gas truck.
Wait, was it before that
out.
When the zombie farted?
Like the he was looking down because he was like, I want to have a date. He was like, I want to get a date. And he was like, dude, you can't cook. You'll never get a date. He was like, what? I'm going to get a date today. And then he looked down. Kenshiro looked down to just try to see, like, who are you going to... He was going to be like, who are you going to date? Everybody's a zombie. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's nobody here. And then the zombie just, like, fell on the ground, bent over, and just started farting. And he was like, good luck with that. And then the intro starts, and then that's when they leave to go to get the TV. They're on the highway, and it's blocked off. And he's like, dang, we were so close. It's literally right there. Whoever knew it would be this hard to get a TV? And then a freaking gas truck comes barreling down the highway. And he's like, if we don't move, we're going to die because the firefighter has electricity. And they got, you know, gas and or not electricity, fire, gas and fire. Big explosion. he drives away. He gets in the subway, like the underground. It's not a subway. It's like the underground portion of the mall, which is like, looks pretty cool. Like that seems pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. Like if you're just walking around and I've never seen anything like
maybe
that.
They have
like
those in Japan.
In Japan. Yeah. Like underground parts where like there's stores, outlet stores and stuff. Cause that was pretty cool. But they get down there, they see a little gate open, they slide through, it's three girls and a dude. They didn't even give us a background on him. But they're all flight attendants, we come to find out, and they're all panicking. They're like, what are you to be happy about? It's nothing but zombies around us. And they're like, are you guys infected? And they're like, no, we're not infected. And Kenshiro's trying to like cheer them up. And then they're like, you know, it's good we're in a, you know, a convenience store, there's a bunch of food, like we're not gonna die, we're pretty much safe, like we can stay here for a while and the zombies will probably just walk away anyway after a little bit. And then they're like, all right, let's get some drinks. They got some food, they start sitting down and they're just drinking and eating. And then they're like, where you come from? And they're like, oh, we just got back from LAX, we stopped.
Yeah.
And they're like, does this mean that you guys are are you guys flight attendants? I don't think they added. They were like, yeah, we're. He was like, do you happen to be flight attendants? He was like, yeah, we are. And then they just lit up and they look at each other and like, oh snap. And they're like, it also feels like we're kind of whining and dining right now. And so his one thing on his bucket list is happening. And then he's like, all right, well, you know, I got to make the most of it. I can't, you know, screw this up. And the first thing he asks is, do you have a girl or a boyfriend?
Yeah.
And she's like, are you really asking me? And he's like, oh no, I just fumbled. And then Kenshiro's like, you know, he's super, he's good with ladies, he's good looking, so he's just like, it's a two man, but it's really a one man. Like he's going, his date,
yeah,
is
like he looks at the other dude
fine.
Too. The other dude is just, yeah, like in his own space, like
in his own space, just, yeah, freaking out. And then he was like, Kenshiro, don't just, you know, leave me alone. Help me. And then he looks up and he's like, oh no, I'm sucking right now. Like it's falling through. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to drink this whole bottle of tequila because why not? And I guess prove that he has the most guts or whatever out of anybody here, which is like, why would you do that? Like that would probably weird him out even more. Scaring the hoes.
You scaring the hoes.
So he got up and he started just, you know, chugging his bottle of tequila. And he was like, after that, the night or the dinner or whatever got a lot better and everything went super good. And then
this dude gets naked and started dancing around.
Yeah, doing his little joke, his naked bit. And then he went to the bathroom. Akira went to the bathroom because he's throwing up because he just drank a whole bottle of tequila. And then the girl shows up and rubs his back and he's like, why did you come and check on me? And she was like, oh, because, you know, you just really went out there and went crazy. And he's like, yeah, that is true. That makes sense. And then she was like, or I think he asked again, right? He was like, you never answered if you did have it. Or she was like, you know, by the way, you asked me, I actually do have a boyfriend. And then he was like, yeah. Oh, his it's heart like, sunk.
He was like, at least it was good while it lasted.
Yeah, at least it was good while it lasted. And then it cuts back to Kenshiro, and they're like, oh, his bed's up here. And he got to it straight away, like, instantly. He got to it. And then the girl was complaining. She was like, I shouldn't have took this job, or something like that. Like, I'm exhausted and I'm tired. And then the guy turned into a zombie. He's just sitting there in a fetal position, and she's, like, complaining about her job. And then he freaking turns into a zombie and then bites her on the coochie.
Yeah. Turned into a munch.
Yeah, turned into a munch. And then she turned into a zombie too. But her zombie form, she was like super athletic and crazy.
Yeah,
strong.
She was like fast. I was like, we got to run her. We got to run her.
Yeah, and then that's when they hear the scream. And he's like, you know, you should go check on that. And she was like, no, we can just go another round, can't we? We can check about it, you know, worry about it later. And he was like, no, I think we should. And then she just, you know, was like, no, we're going to do this. And he was like, all right, whatever, I guess. And then they were sitting on the stairs. Akira and the other girl were sitting on the stairs and just, like, talking about what's going on, like, why they picked their jobs and what their dreams are. And, you know, it was a good moment, a really good moment. And then Kenshiro goes downstairs and he has to... he goes downstairs because after, you know, they did what they did, they're like, hey, Rika, I think her name was Rika, right? Or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rika. He was like, Rika, are you okay? And then she was a zombie, and then he was like, oh, snap, and then she ran up and bit the other girl, and then he got the suitcase and smacked her in the head and killed her. even though she's a zombie, I don't think he really killed her. She was like shivering and shaking on the ground. He like knocked her. He's like, I killed her. Even though she was a zombie, I killed her. And then that's when it went back to Akira and what's her name talking. And they're talking and having this moment, the first guy that turned into a zombie is walking down the steps and just bites the girl on her neck. And then
she was also talking about like not liking her job sometimes. Yeah. And like, this was funny to me because like she said an old man called her a flying waitress. That was really funny.
Oh, they said that in the anime too.
Yeah, it said that.
Okay.
So he calls a bunch of flying waitresses.
I mean, that's what they are. I mean, is that disrespectful? You're a waitress. You're just in the air.
Is that what they are? Is that a flight attendant?
Is that not what it is? A flight attendant?
I guess they kind of do that.
What does a waitress do?
I mean, attend, they just bring water, bring food.
Yeah, food, yeah.
I guess that is mostly. It just sounds funny. But yeah, wasn't she just talking about how, like, did she actually like being a flight attendant? Or?
Yeah, she was like, the reason I became a flight, she was like, when I was rubbing you on your back,
it reminded me
of when I first took you on my very first flight. I was having a really bad time, but the flight attendant came to me and rubbed me on my back and made me feel better. And ever since that day, my dream was to become a flight attendant, which is like very childish. Like, I can see a kid saying, oh, this person made me, but as you get older, you kind of realize, like, I don't want to be no goddamn flight attendant. Like, what the fuck?
Do you have anything like that?
No, I don't have anything like that. I didn't even know I was going to have a job I got right now. I was just like, I don't know. My whole life is just go with the flow. You know what I mean? I just, whatever happens to happen, happens. You know?
Yeah.
It just happened. So, like, for me, I don't really have, like, a huge dream or nothing like that. Or some moment where I was like, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, or somebody did something and I seen them in a position. I'm like, that's something I would want to do. You know? So
I feel like the only moment I can think of is just when I was younger, I would go around, like when I got a phone that could record, I would like record myself like narrating things or like describing things that were happening like in the park and stuff like that. And that's like the only time I could think of that would be like a precursor to like this.
Uh-huh.
But besides that, I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
And then she gets eaten, or she didn't get eaten. She got bit, and then she got back up, and she was like, it's okay, just run. And then the dude hopped back up and then finished her off, which is, like, weird. He turned her to a zombie, and then she, I don't know. Like, why do zombies do that? Like, they turn somebody into a zombie, right? They either eat them fully, or they turn them into a zombie, but they don't usually eat each other after that.
Yeah.
She got turned into a zombie, and then the dude popped back up, Mr.
She wasn't like fully a zombie yet.
Yeah.
Like, she knew she was gonna turn into a zombie.
Yeah.
But usually I feel like they just bite once and then they turn into a zombie
fast. Right away. Yeah. But
this guy also probably took a while to turn into a zombie.
Yeah, because he had that bite for a minute and he was just hiding it.
So maybe it just depends.
If you're ever in the zombie apocalypse and you're the person to get bit and hide it from the rest of the group,
hell.
You deserve worse than death.
Lower hell. Like, I hate
you
those people.
Worse
They're
than
in
death.
Every scenario, aren't they?
Like, yeah,
every
it's
movie.
Like, bro. It's like, bro, you're going to die, bro. Why are you going to take everybody with you?
Just, like, why are you hiding that you're a bit?
Yeah, like, just go about your day, bro. Just, you know what I'm saying? Lead a group or let us know and we'll
kill you. Those people always be in there. And then when they actually took the TV, that was funny too.
Yeah, he was like, because he was crying. He was crying too. And he's like, hey, I got a TV. And he was like, you're the best. And he just like completely rubbed off all his tears and they hopped on the bike and just drove back. And then he went back to playing the game.
That was funny. But that was sad though. I definitely felt for the girl. I thought that she was going to live. Honestly.
Yeah, I thought they were going to survive. And that was going to be like his I don't know.
His new love interest.
His new love interest. But I think it's really just the girl that he saw, that's who it's going to be. I think that's going to be his dream girl. Because it's like, I want to find my dream girl. He didn't cross it off yet, but I think they're going to run into each other again, and that's going to be who he feels like it is.
Okay. Remember my childhood dream.
Yeah, and that was at the end, so I wonder what that is.
What do you think his childhood dream is?
Probably to be free. Aaron type beat.
To be free?
Yeah. Probably be free. Like, no responsibilities, can just do whatever he wants. Maybe. Maybe it's more to it.
I'm trying to think. I mean, we really don't know much about his past besides he played rugby.
Rugby and went to college, and his dream job was to be a production, and a production company.
Maybe it's the big movie. So he used to be a director or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But all right. That's all we got. All these shows I just watched today, besides Jujutsu, I watched that the day of. And it was weird, because I feel like everyone, not everyone, but there was like a lot of Bleach hype on social media.
Oh, well, for this episode?
I don't know if it was specifically for this episode, but like I
thought last episode was better.
Was last episode better? I feel like this episode was better last episode. What happened last episode?
It was when they got the hollow pills and they changed the fight around. Okay. Yeah, but then at the end, they got bamboozled. And Yawich was like, you guys don't realize what you did. You finally took those Bankais back. And now you upped us another level. And then all the crosses just shoot up out the sky.
That's what I like about Bleach. That's what I was trying to say about Aizen. It's like every time you think they had the best of him, he was like, well, actually, I saw this coming. And he always had something. And it was always so funny. But I think I like this episode better, even though I don't really like Doggy. He's okay in the story, but I did like that he got his little moment. But he's had some other moments throughout the story. But what was your episode of the week?
Jujutsu Kaisen.
I'd say... Episode of the week. It's tough. It's between Jujutsu and Zom for me. Because I did really like Zom and the girl at the end. I was just sad that she died, but it was also cool that... I can never tell in the show who's going to live or die.
Yeah.
So I like the suspense.
I thought the other girl was going to be the one that gives him a chance. The one that got turned into a zombie first.
Okay.
Because she was like, drink it up, go for more. Like, she was like, this dude's impressive. After he drank all the tequila.
Yeah.
I thought, like, maybe that was going to be a thing, but no. She was just, I don't know. not like a long-lasting thing, but just like, you know, she would be the one to let him have a date and have a good time and stuff like that.
He was going
to
beat.
Nah. I don't think that's his character. That's not his character.
You don't think he'll ever.
I don't know the way the show is. He might get a scene like that because I didn't expect what they showed after they showed it in the bed and stuff. I was like, what the heck? Yeah. Like, I didn't know the show was like that. Like, I wasn't expecting anything like that. Like, maybe they showed it off screen, but they actually showed like the girl kind of naked and stuff. And I was like, oh wow.
True. I mean, they didn't show it, but implied the lady in the first episode, like the assistant.
Oh yeah, the assistant in the office. Whatever. Yeah, yeah, with the company, the head of the company or the CEO, whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I don't know. He might.
I think my episode of week was Zom, but I think Jujutsu was very close. For animation of the week, I definitely Jujutsu.
Yeah, same.
Kaisen for me. And then moment of the week, there were a lot of funny moments / good moments this week. In Jujutsu, when Gojo comes back and he's just like weird and floating and stuff, that was a good moment.
And then he was upside down and he used the red.
Yeah. And then in Zom, when the zombie was farting, and then when they were excited about the flight attendant. And so there's a lot of moments in Zom that were really funny. And then in Rurouni Kenshin, when the dude dressed up like the bandit guy, that was a little funny moment as well.
Yeah. Bleach, when he turned back into a dog, or when he took his helmet off and he was a human, I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Like, what the heck?
I wasn't expecting that at all. But what was the moment of the week? It's probably Gojo.
For me, it'll have to be Gojo, yeah. Gojo. Showing back up. That whole sequence of events.
Yeah, man.
Him floating in the light just beaming down, golden on him. Just like...
I am the one chosen by the heavens.
Yeah.
I feel like... I don't know. I'm just really excited. I am excited for the next episode of Jujutsu. Probably the most. Because I really want to know what's going to happen. Is there a next episode?
I think there's two more. And then it's going to go on break. Okay. Which is kind of annoying.
It is. But if it's good, I guess I'll care a little bit less. But it will kind of throw us off. I mean, besides that, predictions for Zom. What was the next one called? Hero of the Dead?
Oh, I don't see the titles of the next episode. So this Hero of the Dead, he might meet the guy, the waitress, or the host guy. Yeah, they might run across each other.
Part of me feels like he'll never show up again.
Really?
Thing.
You think he's just, I don't know. That was just that one thing, that one shot thing. I feel like he'll be a part of it because I feel like the other girl's gonna show back up too.
Yeah, I feel like she'll show up. Because, like, in the preview, I thought that one of these girls was going to be the other girl that's, like, in the intro of the show. But she's, like, a blonde girl. So I know it's none of them now. But I don't know when she's going to show up. So I guess we'll see. And then Bleach, I think I already said my predictions for that.
Yeah, same. I said mine as well.
Jujutsu. Aftermath of Tengen. I think Tengen's just gonna be a regular guy.
I don't think it's gonna change. I think he'll just keep doing what he's doing.
And as far as Geto and Gojo go, I just have no idea how they turn into what they are today. Like, I have no semblance of an idea. And what's the other show? Kenshin? They're just going to continue their fight, I assume.
Yeah,
that,
I think they'll finish your fight and then they'll Kenshin become friends. Win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all I got. You got anything else?
No, that's it for me too, man.
All right. Well, this is Week in Weebs, episode 37. That's all we got. Like, subscribe, share, whatever, follow. Sorry, I'm sick. I'm kind of out of it. But peace out.